It's here, the Omaha Steaks Cyber Sale. We're talking 50% off site-wide and an extra 20% off select packages. There's no better time to shop for everyone on your list. And when you shop omahasteaks.com today, you'll get an additional $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. With Omaha Steaks, you can slay your gift list and send a perfect assortment that everyone will love. USDA certified tender steaks, beefy burgers, premium air chilled chicken, decadent desserts, and so much more. There's something for everyone on your list. And every bite is backed by their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't wait. Shop the Cyber Sale now at omahasteaks.com to save 50% site-wide and an extra 20% off select packages. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, code HOLIDAYGIFT. Hurry, sale ends December 2nd. Terms apply. See site for details.
Welcome to another edition of Para Talk. I'm Gareth Davis in Los Angeles, California, and joining me once again is Mr. Reeves Cook in the UK. Hey, Reeves.
Hi, Gareth. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. We got a great story this week on Para Talk, something that I remember hearing when I was a kid and being kind of fascinated by it, but also kind of not really buying it. But maybe our conversation will change our mind. Today we're going to discuss the devil's footprints.
Devil's footprints. It sounds ominous.
It does.
And we don't know, maybe we put it into cryptozoology or maybe we put it into the realms of ghosts and the paranormal. Who knows? It's one of those stories that happened in the late 18th century. But I think what we need to do, first of all, is kind of go back to the very beginnings and lay the grounding for this event, which happened in February of 1855, happened over one night and one day. And not only did it happen in one place, it happened over an area of 100 miles. To give our listeners a bit of a sort of a background, these are tiny hoof-like prints that were found in the snow.
So these were like cloven hooves. And I guess that's where the whole devil association comes in, you know, because, you know, the classical illustration of the devil is that he's got like hooves and stuff, which is very similar to the god Pan. The strange thing about these hoof prints or footprints was their layout, right, Reeves?
There's a few other fascinating things about this account.
Okay.
Now, basically, when the people woke in the morning, there'd been a heavy snowfall the night before, so we had a thick, clean layer of snow. They found these tiny little footprints. Now, the footprints seemed to go in a straight line, so that if there was a house in the way, the footprints didn't go around the house. They went, stopped at the house, and then up over the roof and carried on the other side. If there was a wall, they would stop at the wall, and then they would get a small disturbance on top of the wall, and then they would carry on. There were people that followed these footprints, to the end of their village. Now, it spread across many villages, up to 100 miles in distance, these tracks. And the tracks seemed to go in just a straight line. Whatever was in their way at the time, it either seemed to go over or through. There's two accounts that happened when people tracked these markings. I don't know what to call them. I just call them markings.
Yeah.
There was one where after the local villagers were talking with one another, and you know, what are they? Well, why? What? You know, it looks like, you know, hoof. Could it have been the devil? Blah blah blah. Parties were put together to follow these prints. Now, these prints went into a shed in one area, and they didn't go over the roof at the time. They went into the open door of a shed. And when you went round the back of the shed, they continued. So whatever it was, in theory, it actually went through the wall of the shed, the wooden wall of the shed. There was another case where it reached a small river. The markings stopped at the edge of the river and continued on the other side. Now, you could say, well, whatever it was, walked through the river and carried on.
Right.
But there are other accounts where that sniffer dogs were put together to follow the footprints to see if they could get any other traces of anything. And the dogs followed the prints into a like a wooded, bushed area, but the dogs wouldn't enter. They wouldn't go in. They turned back. They had to go around the outside where the prints continued on.
One of the main things should be said here in regard to these hoof prints or footprints or devil's footprints, whatever you want to call them, is that even though the prints were of a cloven hoof of like an animal, the structure of the markings as far as how this creature moved was not a four-legged creature.
That's
it
correct.
It was on two legs,
mm-hmm.
and it walked like a man would walk.
Yeah. Yeah, bipedal, yeah.
Yeah.
There were measurements done. I think the footsteps were something like 16 inches apart or something, and the actual measurement of the diameter was like 4 inches of the foot. So whatever it was putting one foot well, I say one foot.
one hoof in front of the other.
One foot in front of the other.
Yeah.
It was walking. It wasn't something... we're going to a little bit later. We'll go into a few theories, but...
But it wasn't trotting along. It wasn't like galloping or trotting along. It was walking.
No, it was walking. But the crazy thing is, wherever it walked, it seemed to either walk over or through. It wasn't just... I mean, you had many obstacles. There was not only were there houses, there was rivers, there was haystacks. It just seemed to go either straight over or straight through. And some of these walls that it went over were so high that you'd need to climb the wall
to get
over it. Now, if it was a person, see, the snow around the prince was undisturbed.
Yeah.
Anyone that goes in the snow and walks around, you know that when you're walking in the snow, you never leave a perfect footprint.
Yeah.
You always leave this kind of mushy, dragged mess behind you.
Right.
But these prints look like they've been stamped into the snow.
Yeah.
Now, I could understand if someone was having a prank to put fear into local villagers in a small village, but these prints went on for 100 miles across many, many areas in that county.
There's some very strange things. I mean, just the like you said, there's 100 miles of these footprints or hoof prints.
Yeah.
One of the things that I remember from reading about this as a kid was being on the roof. And I always found that really fascinating, that the tracks would lead up to the wall of the house and then suddenly up on the roof and then down the other side of the house and then off again. But think about that for a second. Why, if you were some kind of creature, why wouldn't you just walk around the house? What are you hopping on roofs for? That's bizarre.
Yeah. Why would you? One of the things that sticks with me with this account is that these tracks are in a straight line. They just, you know, they don't, as you say, they don't deviate. They're just in a complete straight line. I mean, there are people, some people, townsfolk. Did say allegedly they had a sighting of what they class as a devil-like figure in the area. Rumor has it that there were sightings of this is in closed brackets, whatever you want to put in, a devil-like figure. People reported seeing this devil-like creature. It's in the Devon area during the scare, and many townspeople, they armed themselves and, you know, got together these kind of search groups, because they went out hunting for it, thinking that this thing, being or, you know, whatever it might have been, was responsible for the prints that were left across all these different areas of over 100 miles. But obviously there was nothing was found. You know, if you get large groups of people together...
Yeah, the people. It's contagious.
It's hysteria.
Yeah, people get all mental and act all crazy, and it gets out of control real quick. It's just like it's highly contagious. But I wanted to ask a little bit about this devil like figure. Now you got to figure this.
Yeah.
This was back in what the mid 19th century.
Yeah,
where people were a lot more religious.
Very, yeah.
A lot more taking, you know, religious practice a lot more seriously than maybe they do today. And thoughts of the devil and the evil and the supernatural were very much a part of everyday life in certain areas of the country.
Mm. Yeah.
Maybe in big cities like London, you know, people would be, what are you talking about? You know, but out in the wilds, you know, in the farmlands and stuff, it was very, very still very prevalent. So a devil like creature, I would assume from that, just the devil like they saw an upright,
upright
man like figure with horns and stuff.
Not horns, but walking with a, you know, that kind of the way that the half man, half beast kind of thing, walking with that kind of strange thing. He had dark clothes on. You know, it could have been somebody just trying to capitalize on the situation, but,
true.
It's only a rumor.
Yeah.
But the people were thinking like that. I mean, remember, you're seeing these prints. Some of these prints, right, actually went up to drain pipes, and the drain pipes were as small as 4 inches in diameter, and you have prints on them.
Yeah.
So you've got not just got footprints on areas that are large, flat, vast areas, which you've got footprints on these tiny little areas as well.
That's true. So, it's bizarre. I mean, it makes no sense whatsoever. I mean, mm-hmm. even though we're thinking, you know, oh, this was, you know, over 100 years ago and people were silly back then. But if this incident happened today,
yeah,
you'd be scratching your head thinking, what the hell?
Yeah. Well, there was some first-hand evidence of the phenomenon. And it was, being very God-fearing religious people back then, they would obviously turn to the church. And one of the, a Reverend H.T. Ellicombe, it was the vicar, St. George's in the 1850s, he wrote a letter, okay? Now, later on, these publications, these letters, and they were all put together. And one of the publications was sent to the newspaper. This is a newspaper to be a London News. It was to be published, you know, a story, and it was marked not for publication. So obviously, it wasn't deemed newsworthy enough, or it was something that people didn't want in the news.
Yeah,
either through fear of creating more hysteria, or because it was something that didn't fit in at the time, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, there was a study done, and Mike Dash got all the information together over many years. He was a researcher, and there was a publication done of the mystery in 1994. It was a 14 study.
Oh, okay, yeah.
There was a paper put together,
right,
of all the source material at the time. That people, you know, notes and newspaper reports and first-hand witness stuff, you know, things like that. It was all put together, and he was named, I think it was named the Devil's Hoof Marks, and it was all the source material that was available.
Now, the Reverend who wrote into the newspaper, obviously he wrote his account and everything, but he also included some tracings of the actual footprints.
Yeah, it was never published. It was submitted to the paper, a draft was put in, and it was marked not for publication. So it never got out to the greater masses.
I wonder, a
little bit of a mystery there.
I wonder if this guy Mike Dash, when he was compiling his book, got a hold of those papers and maybe a copy of the original tracing of the footprints. That would be that might be interesting. It might be an interesting book to kind of seek out.
Yeah. I've never read all the source material.
Yeah.
But it would be interesting to read the 14 study
that was
released in 1994. That would make some interesting,
yeah.
Because you've got all these different theories. I mean, theorists have been trying to prove. I mean, we've got the balloon theory.
Oh, this is new to me. I've never heard this. What's the balloon theory?
Well, there was an experimental balloon that was released by mistake from Devonport Dockyard. And it left some mysterious tracks by trailing shackles on the end of the mooring ropes. Okay. Now, this is a source from a local man, a Major Carter. whose grandfather had worked in a Devonport at the time. Now, it's a source. It's source information. So you don't know if it's true or not, but, you know.
Right.
Now, he claimed that the incident had been hushed up because the balloon had wrecked a number of conservatories and greenhouses and some windows that had been broken, and it was hushed up because they didn't want to spend all this money out.
Right.
And while it explains, if you had shackles at the end of a balloon,
right,
while it explains it's a possibility that it could make those marks, there's no, I don't understand how this balloon would be able to travel in a complete straight line. It would be able to go over the roofs of houses, cross, go through wooden walls.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of.
Yeah, there's a few. I mean, when initially the balloon theory. I mean, you were just telling me right now, and I'm like, oh, well, there you go. That makes perfect sense. Case closed. Right.
Well, it does, but I mean, it's like it's people disagree that, you know, the balloon could have traveled, right?
Well, it wouldn't have traveled in a straight line. Okay, the balloon would have gone all over the place. So it wouldn't have been in a straight line. So one of two things are happening here: either it wasn't the balloon that caused the marks, or it was, and people exaggerated a little bit on this whole straight line stuff.
Well, there was another theory of getting a bit crazy now, like mating hedgehogs that create crop circles. Hopping mice.
Hopping mice, that's a good
Hopping
one.
Hopping mice may have caused these double footprints, apparently. that's another suggestion put forward. That
that's
the
great
mice,
one.
These mice that hop around would leave similar markings, but that once again... hopping mice over 100 miles over the tops of houses and
extremely unlikely.
It's unlikely. Maybe in some areas people might have got a little, you know, maybe misidentified animal markings in the snow with these footprints and said, oh, I've got footprints here as well in our village.
Yeah,
maybe, but not the whole thing. One of the most craziest ones is a kangaroo.
Ah, there you go.
Somebody
case,
put forward the
closed.
Idea of, I think it was Reverend G.M. Musgrove. He reported that a couple of kangaroos escaped from a private area, and that he believed that these are what caused the problem. But once again, kangaroos don't jump whole houses.
Yeah.
They don't transfer themselves through wooden walls and jump lakes and rivers.
This is still like an unsolved mystery. But
it very much is.
From my perspective, the most likely explanation is the balloon. But, I mean, whether or not that was, I mean, who knows? But that makes the most sense to me. You know?
Well, yeah. Yeah. I mean, but there are other incidents that have happened previously where people have found strange markings. And even today we find strange markings and we can't identify them. You know,
right.
You go into some of the woods and the forests and you find these strange footprints and you don't know, you don't know what they're from, or it's maybe an animal that's not been catalogued or whatever. But certainly we're in the realms here of you have to be a little bit skeptical, but you also have to be a little bit level-handed. But on the other side, you have to be a little bit open-minded. Some of the theories that we've discussed in today on this episode are perfectly valid theories, but they fall down when you look at the distance traversed, the object, whatever it might have been, travelled in a straight line. It also, one of the other things, it seemed like that the prints were burnt into the snow from a hot object. When you put a hot object into the snow, it kind of it slices through like butter. It kind of prints into the snow. One of the investigators put forward that it, maybe whatever it was, its body temperature or its was a lot hotter than the snow. You know, it was, that's why you would get this effect, but once again, we don't know what possibly could have caused it. The only reason that the people liken the prince to the devil is because religion was a lot more stronger back then in people's minds, and because they look like little hoofs. And of course, the devil is meant to be half beast and half man. So
right.
So, and you've got this kind of mindset going on.
Exactly. So, I mean, this is a very famous case. Did they ever come back to that area, or was there anything very similar like this that's happened since or before that are, you know, in different parts of the country or world?
There has been there was an example that was reported 15 years earlier in the Times of some anomalous footprints, but it was happened. I think it happened some way away, but it was a similar, not the same, but similar of footprints, and there were also glimpses of a creature, shall we say, an unidentified individual. So you know. That's like we're talking Scotland here, so that's quite a way away,
right?
You know, so it's basically.
And any others, or that, or is that kind of the it as far as echoes of the devil's footprints?
Are you familiar? Obviously, you're familiar with the Jersey Devil,
right?
And so we've got, and also there's, you know, we've got similarities there with the Jersey Devil.
I keep thinking of like, and I don't know whether this is related or not, but it's kind of just popped into my head. Is Springheel Jack?
Springheel Jack. Yeah. Well, that was something that happened in around the same time, around the same era.
But I'm thinking, you know, the leaping on top of buildings and that kind of stuff.
Definitely something that's similar. I mean, we've got you know, the great thunderstorm of Widdicombe. That was another legend with allegedly a devil that had come down and things were spotted. So we've got lots of different stories that are similar.
Yeah.
But I think the devil's footprints is in itself as an account is quite a unique.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no question. You
know, I mean, we've got. I mean, in 2013. There was trails that were reported in Scotland, possibly part of a April Fool's hoax. But you've got something mirroring these footprints. You know, people take stuff. The problem is that when we've got these accounts, and you've got other accounts that happen later on, you don't know whether people are doing it as a hoax,
right, exactly.
A joke, just the same as the crop circle phenomenon,
right,
where you get
true.
People now are calling it art. They go out and they do the crop circle. They call it art. But really what they're doing is just basically muddying the waters, because they don't say, well, I made that one. They leave it up to the public to decide. If you put them all in a field and said, that's where you can do your art, so we know that all those ones are fake, then we can carry on with our research.
Right.
But and that's like this. You don't know.
But where's the fun in that, Reeves?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. This is a great case, one that I remember reading as a child and being fascinated by, and I've learned a little bit more today that it is more of a mystery than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
We still don't have any answers. For me, the balloon theory seems the most likely. But whether or not that is the case, who knows?
Who knows? It's another one of those cases that's going to be, I think, have people scratching their heads for many years to
come.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, there you have it, folks. Another episode of Paratalk, The Devil's Footprints. Thank you so much, Reeves. Another great tale. And thank you all for listening. And we'll be back very soon with more Paratalk.
It's here, the Omaha Steaks Cyber Sale. We're talking 50% off site-wide and an extra 20% off select packages. There's no better time to shop for everyone on your list. And when you shop omahasteaks.com today, you'll get an additional $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. With Omaha Steaks, you can slay your gift list and send a perfect assortment that everyone will love. USDA certified tender steaks, beefy burgers, premium air chilled chicken, decadent desserts, and so much more. There's something for everyone on your list, and every bite is backed by their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't wait. Shop the Cyber Sale now at omahasteaks.com to save 50% site-wide and an extra 20% off select packages. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, code HOLIDAYGIFT. Hurry, sale ends December 2nd. Terms apply. See site for details.